Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Musical Connections Podcast. This is the show where you'll discover more about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. I'm your host, Zach Snow, and we got another great episode lined up for you this week, as this is a special bonus episode as we continue our coverage of the 2025 East Coast Music Awards. Our road to the ECMAs takes us back to Montreal, as I welcome as my guest for this bonus episode, Heather Luco, who also goes by her stage name, Heather Feather. Now, I first found out about Heather through the Music NL New Music Monday feature on social media, and I just figured, I was just wondering, who is this Heather Feather lady? And I find out that she is a Montreal-based artist that was born in Mount Pearl. So, very fun to find out that she is from this province, but now calls Montreal her home. We head up to Montreal to talk to Heather about her East Coast Music Award nomination for Children's Entertainer of the Year. And we also discuss more about Heather Feather and the upcoming album she has coming out in the next month or so called Together. We also talk about growing up in Mount Pearl, being in a musical family, and heading to Holy Heart of Mary High School with some of Newfoundland and Labrador's finest cultural icons, like Mark Critch, Johnny Harris, Maureen Ennis, Krista Rudowski, Aaron Power, and Aaron Best, among others. We also discuss the whole Heather Feather project and why she decided to get into children's music in the first place. So let's get to connecting with Heather Feather in Montreal as our road to the ECMAs continues. Everyone, welcome back to the Musical Connections Podcast. This is the show where you'll discover more about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. And the road to the East Coast Music Awards continues. And we are going to be talking to a 25-year entertainer entertaining children all over Montreal. She is a Mount Pearl-born singer-songwriter, but has lived in Montreal for more than two decades. And her project, Heather Feather, is up for an ECMA this year for Children's Entertainer of the Year. And we join Heather Feather from Montreal. She is Heather Luco. And of course, she is known to everybody as Heather Feather. Heather, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
And great to have you on. Congratulations on your East Coast Musical Award nomination for Children's Entertainer of the Year. Well deserved.
Thank you.
Now, of course, I first found out about you through a Music NL posting because I've seen that you put out a couple of songs last few months, and you put out a song recently, as soon as like January or something, and you're putting out a new song next week, which is by the time that this releases, it will be out by next week, March 27th. I was just like, who is this Heather Feather lady, and is she from Newfoundland? And then just doing a little bit of research, you're originally from Mount Pearl, so and now you're based in Montreal for more than two decades now, so it's pretty crazy to believe that more people are coming from this province and being nominated for East Coast Music Awards. So again, congratulations are in order. And first things first, who is Heather Feather? Well, we'll talk about the name later, but just about yourself as a Heather Luco. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
So what I currently do now, I am a children's singer-songwriter. And I'm putting out my second album. I've done a couple of singles. I started recording in 2022. And I think I really started as an entertainer only just after COVID restrictions lifted up. Before that, I did more teaching. And it's the idea of music is better when we do it together. So it's encouraging parents to make music with their children. And I do group music under my umbrella company, We Jam, because little ones jam with their parents and with one another and learn social skills at the same time.
WeChan, that is such a creative name. Now, let's get to that right now, because you've done parent and child group music since 2017, and you've been at this now for 8 years, so congratulations on all your success with that. So, WeChan, I just love how you're using, like, you know, we, like, the wee ones, and how, like, you know, children are just, you know, just starting to grow into their bodies and stuff like that, and you're jamming along with the music. So tell me a little bit more about how this WeJam thing started.
So WeJam started because my son had started school and someone in the community had said, hey, do you teach music for children, for young children, like under five? I said, I don't know about that. But when I gave it a shot, I went into a couple of schools that wanted an after-school program. And I really, really enjoyed it. And I had done part of my music ed degree, like part of some of the courses. And then I decided not to do music ed at Mon, and I went into another field. So I circled back, did some study on my own, and decided on a number of techniques like ORF and Kodai and stuff to mix in to teach. And as well, my experience with my own son and what I grew up with in Newfoundland with my parents constantly making music with me and encouraging me to do and to make it within. So taking all that and putting it into a package was just fascinating. And then having the program grow with the children. So starting out with parents and focusing more on fine motor skills, gross motor that are developmentally appropriate, and hitting all of the milestones in like physical, social, emotional, cognitive skills as the children are growing. And as they're able to do more, opening up the instruments that I give them, instead of having a bell of just one note, now I give them two notes or three notes. They're learning to read. They're learning to read by color. They're learning to clap back patterns. And most importantly, they're jamming. So they get ukuleles. They can start playing a C chord. I start them with incorrect fingering at the age of three. But then by the time they graduate, they usually got like a C, an F, and a G7, right? So, and with the proper fingers. So they can actually rock out, you know, with like three chords, which is pretty fun with their parents.
That's crazy. You're starting at three years old with incorrect fingering. That's nuts. I never heard somebody that would start intentionally with incorrect fingering. But I guess you got to start somewhere in order to find out, okay, this isn't right. This is how you do this. And we're going to work as hard as we can, especially, you know, being as young as they are, to get them to where they need to be when they, you know, do enter kindergarten and primary elementary school.
But we work with the pincer grip because that's the first one that children use, right? So when you pick up your Cheerio and you eat it like this. So if you can do this, then you can play a C on a ukulele, which is the top of a G chord on a guitar, really. You're just going up the third fret. So you're teaching them just to do this. And then as I'm strengthening the finger grip, and then by the time that they go to school, then they can hold a pencil better. Like it's all part of the growth. It's fun.
I'd say. And let's talk about what got you into music in the first place, Heather, because when we were talking off the air here, you told me that you went to school at Holy Heart of Mary High School. And just some of the names that you've talked about, I asked you before if you went to the same around the same time that Mark Critch went to school. And you told me yes. And you've also went to the same time that Johnny Harris went there. And Maureen Ennis of the Ennis Sisters? That is insane to hear that. So tell me about those days of Holy Heart of Mary High School when you were around such big names of Newfoundland and Labrador culture.
It was a blast, honestly. I went to Holy Heart specifically because of the music program, and I wanted to have options to do more music courses, and the choir there was fantastic. They also had an orchestra and a band, and I was a French horn player and a singer, and I did want to go to music school. I didn't know which instrument to go to Mon on, and it was fabulous, and it was fun being in so many music courses because there was overlap between the theater group. And, you know, you'd be in music class or just hanging around on a lunch hour and Johnny Harris would come in, tell a few jokes and everybody would laugh. Or Maureen would be at the piano. She's playing with Krista Radofsky and over in the corner. And I'm just writing something. Yeah, like it was just fun to have so much creativity. And I got to tell you that variety shows were the best. Like whenever they did the Spirit Week variety show and it was hosted by Mark Critch or hosted by Johnny Harris. I mean, that's the best. It doesn't get any better, right?
And you went to school with Krista Radofsky too? That's crazy. And like, who else did you go to school with that we wouldn't know about?
Erin Best went on in the music and did some recording later. She went to university for something else, and I think she did do some folk music recording. She's a sweetheart. Erin. So Erin is half of the Swinging Bells, right?
Erin Power?
Yeah, so she was a grade ahead of me in school, and we both sang in chamber choir. She might have been 2 years ahead of me.
Wow.
And so a lot of people either did music part-time, did music full-time, you know, but they kept in music. And it's neat to see all these years later because we all went somewhere different.
Yeah, and Erin Power is also a former guest on the podcast with the Swinging Bells, 2-time Juno Award winners. But again, you're no slouch yourself. You've established a great teaching career with the Wee Jam Company, and you've also taken on this new children's entertainer persona with Heather Feather. So let's get into that now. And you released your very first album in 2022 called Songs for Growing, which I received 2-factor artist development grants by the government of Canada and Canada's private radio broadcasters. So how did this whole Heather Feather thing come together?
So I think it was like a lot of other musicians during the COVID shutdown. My Wee Jam program was shut down and music in the schools was limited. Like I know here in Quebec, we weren't allowed to sing because of the droplets. So a lot of teachers moved towards ukulele and xylophones and things in music class. They were doing more listening. And I had a lot of time on my hands because I'm an independent artist and I wasn't going into all these spaces. I didn't have anyone coming into my house for music. So I just started writing more. And I always wrote my own material for my program because I know which developmental skills I want to work on depending on who's in my classes. But it really gave me an opportunity to record and to really develop some ideas and think broader about if I had children that were older, what would I want them to learn? And what would I like to open conversations in family about? It's not just me imparting wisdom. When you write songs for children, you want it to be food for thought. Like a song is to be interpreted by somebody. It's not just the message I want to put into it. The listener takes something from it. So what would I like children to be able to take from it, to take home, to talk to their friends, to talk in the classroom, to talk to mom and dad? And yeah, that's how that was born. And then I got a chance to finally release that in 2022. That was a ton of fun. Worked with some of Montreal's best musicians.
That's wonderful. Now, you've been in Montreal for, I've said for about 2 decades, but again, I could be totally wrong about how long you've lived in Montreal for, because you're originally from Mount Pearl. Did you go to school up in Montreal by chance?
I did. I came to Montreal in 2021. To do my PhD at McGill in music theory.
Oh, okay. So I was totally wrong about how long you've lived in Montreal for 2 decades. That's my fault.
No, I forget myself because, you know, like I moved around, like after I left Newfoundland in 1999, then I went to Ohio and I did a 2-year master's program in music composition.
Okay.
And then I came to Montreal.
Got it. That's crazy. And like, I never knew you lived in Ohio. And now the fact that you're settled there now in Montreal, running that Wee Jam program and also, you know, having this new Heather Feather project on the go now for about 3 years or so, you're really making a great life up in Montreal. But you don't forget where you came from. And of course, you grew up in Mount Pearl. So how did you get into music to begin with? And not so much, you know, studying music, but like, how'd you get into playing music? Because you said earlier that you were inspired by, you know, your mom and your dad who were musicians themselves. They were like always pushing you to pursue music. So how did it all start for you, Heather?
Well, I came from a super musical family and I'm the only one that ended up going into music, but music is such an important part of Newfoundland culture. Just like everybody sings, just about anybody like has a guitar, right? If you go to somebody's house for a party, there's always a guitar there. Somebody owns it. Growing up in my household was no different. So my dad was pretty well known on the amateur folk music scene. And he had a couple of bands and he used to accompany people, like singer-songwriters that didn't feel so comfortable playing the guitar themselves. So growing up, my dad would play with me a lot. And he would accompany me as I sang. And my mother was always singing. So the funny thing is my dad can't sing at all. He has, I don't know what it is, but he has this horrible sounding voice and he can't keep pitch, but he has perfect pitch. Like when he tunes his guitar, he doesn't need, you know, he doesn't need any kind of tuner, but you ask him to sing this, I was like, happy birthday to you. It's really bad. So my mom's the singer and all her family, they all sing. And of course, all the way back and all the relatives in St. John's that she grew up with and back into Torres Cove. So it's a super musical family. It's just part of my upbringing.
That's crazy. But I think your father was a good example of, you know, like be more of like, you know, in the background, not so much at center stage. So say if like if he ever wrote songs, he wouldn't sing them or record them himself, but would give them to other people to record. So
I gotta say, I'm like that too. And one of the hesitations of becoming a performer is that I have terrible stage fright, and I actually left performance for that reason.
Okay.
Yeah, like when I was growing up as a classical musician, and I just had terrible anxiety. Once I went into a concerto competition and I nearly dropped my French horn going on stage.
Wow.
Just really a bag of nerves. And, you know, but it's different with kids because you're connecting with one child at a time, and children know the intentions there. They're so open. They're so loving. And it's not the same at all. You know, it's a welcoming space.
Mm-hmm. So you said pursued classical music. I believe that's probably why you went to school there to begin with. So yep. Why go into children's music?
So when I was in year 5 or 6 of my PhD, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and I had had problems starting in my third year at Memorial in the undergrad. And, you know, it manifested in various ways, but it was more muscular and nervous and not typical like female MS symptoms. So when I went to see neurology, or I went to see a family doctor, I was just told, oh, it's just headaches causing this. There's nothing to worry about. And so I just kept stopped pursuing a diagnosis because, you know, and when I met my husband, he said, no, there's something wrong. There's something here to pursue. So it's actually kind of interesting because we were on our second date and he noticed my pupils were 2 different sizes and my husband's a medical doctor. So my husband said, when your pupils are 2 different sizes, you're either brain dead or there's something very wrong. So let's go to the hospital. So Jeez. That was a pretty funny meeting for somebody to end up marrying. And after like 2 years, I got the diagnosis and I figured out, and my neurologist figured out, that it was actually the stress of being in academia, like of having to publish articles and then you're teaching, you're doing your research. It was just too much. And that was one of the main relapse triggers. So when I left teaching at McGill, I got better. And then when I went back and I tried teaching again when my son was 3, I was using a walker within 3 months.
Wow.
And I had a really bad relapse. I was losing the ability to walk. So that was the end of that. So after a few years, I found myself looking for something to do and got invited to try to teach a children's music class. And it was just love at first strum. Like, I really loved it. And I had my own kid by that time, and it just embraced motherhood.
That's wonderful. And do you still deal with some of the multiple sclerosis symptoms to this day, or have you been really able to manage it now because of, you know, going into children's music?
I manage it a lot better, I have to say.
That's good.
The first couple of years were rough because you have to try to find a medication that helps to manage the symptoms.
Oh, yeah.
And so you take these preventative things. And I couldn't find one that worked for about 5 years. So it's really rough. And then I found one that worked. And it worked for 9 or 10 years and kept me really well for the most part until last year. And last year was really rough. 2024 was rough. And I didn't perform actually in the fall because my hand didn't work properly and I needed to play. And I had an ankle that wasn't working well. All recovered, super happy, and back to performing again. So far, so good. I think a positive outlook and doing something you love is definitely part of managing a chronic illness. Like, because it's, you do something you love, you're not stressed.
Oh, for sure. And if you're not like challenging yourself, you're not really becoming the person, the woman that you are today, really.
Well, it is important to try new things. And
exactly.
That's also part of recording and trying to push myself out there. Like, especially with this new album, instead of doing what I know, which is like child development, of trying to get more into the sphere of real social emotional learning, which I did less of, and important messages that are more difficult topics to broach, mm-hmm. and trying to write songs about that too.
For sure. Now, it was back February 26th at the Rock House that the 2025 East Coast Music Award nominees were announced, and you are up for Children's Entertainer of the Year. Another one of Newfoundland and Labrador's performers, Miss Chris, who recently just put out two singles and it's got an EP coming out as well, is up for it as well. But knowing all the stuff that you went through throughout your life, how did it feel to, you know, hear your name be announced for an East Coast Music Award nomination back in February?
Pretty exciting. It's nice to know that there's it to be part of the community in the East Coast, even though I'm living in Montreal, part of my heart never really left. Like after the first album, I did a tour of the East Coast in the summer of 2023, and I just love to be there. And so to hear, especially ECMA nomination, meant so much to me because those are my roots. Like that's where I came from. That's part of everything that I do. It's part of who I am. And even at Folk Alliance International here in Montreal, I kept running into the East Coast people and Music NL people. I was like, hey, you, right? Because that's your crowd. Like, that's what these are the people that you feel comfortable with because they understand you.
Have you considered coming back to Newfoundland and Labrador, like moving here permanently, or are you just fine there in Montreal and then, you know, making visits from time to time?
Thought about it. I think that if we were to move, we would definitely head east. Definitely. I don't know where, because my husband's and I are still a ways out from retirement. He's Quebecois, but he's grew up English. So he's got, you know, both languages. And he often finds reasons to go and do jobs on the East Coast too. So we try to get ourselves there. I try to find shows and he tries to find things to do. And we're just waiting for our son to finish school as well. Like we wouldn't move until he's done. So he's graduating this year and he's got a 2-year program in CEGEP. So we'll see after that. Then he won't be home based anymore. He'll be launched university somewhere probably.
Well, best of luck to your son and everything that he has going on with his future, with his graduation from high school and the future in college. If there's one thing I can tell him when it comes to having successful university tenure, network with as much people as you can with the group that you can. So
that's good advice.
I think that's one thing I didn't really do enough in university, but that's another conversation for another time. We'll get to one of your songs that you're going to be putting out on a brand new album set to come out later this year. But let's talk about that brand new album. What can we expect on it?
So I'm really excited about this one. The focus of the album is inclusion. And the idea is that for some reason, everybody feels excluded at some time in their life. And we have groups like, you know, DEI was canceled in the United States, that diversity, equity, inclusion don't matter. Thankfully, we don't have that in Canada. And there's always children that feel misunderstood for whatever reason. I know I was one of those kids and I often felt like an outsider. We've got work to do still with racism. Somebody needs to tackle. I like the alphabet rockers that tackle anti. It's not enough to be say I'm not racist. You have to say I'm anti-racist to be truly, you know what I mean? To move the needle as a white person, because you're coming from a place of privilege. So doing an album about inclusion and all the ways in which we include people who might look differently than us. Maybe the person has a physical disability. Maybe the person is a different religion. They're a different color. These things are all important that we learn to embrace our differences and we work together. And just the beauty of inclusion when we work together, of what we can accomplish.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I never thought of, you know, approaching those topics from like, you know, saying I'm anti-racist. Like I never thought of it that way before. And it's really interesting to, you know, hear you take on those topics. But when it comes to this album, which is going to be called Together, you recently received a grant from the Canada Council for the Arts. So how excited are you for that?
I think to say that I was like beyond the moon would probably be like that and the ECMA nomination. We're both just, wow. Like, I don't think I could really settle much over the next few days because I'm so excited. It's really nice to know that Canada Council is happy to be engaged in this kind of work for children, because if we don't promote our children and we don't help our children, then what are we saying about our future as a people? So like, it was just the best feeling in the world to know that that was considered important from the Canada Arts Council. Like, wow.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I was speaking with Ben Diamond recently, who kicked off this whole Road to the ECMA kind of journey a couple of weeks ago. And I asked him a simple question, like, how important is music education? So I'm going to ask that same question to you, Heather. From your point of view, and especially where, you know, you're teaching children, you're teaching the future generation and many other future generations to come, how important is music education for the development of music, not just in Newfoundland and Labrador, but across the entire country?
Oh my goodness, it's so important. And there are so many spheres from which you can answer the question. So I'll try to keep it succinct. On the individual level, there have been many studies that show that children who study music and then up through school perform better in certain subjects. It helps with executive functioning. It helps with different cognitive skills, making connections. My kids that can read rhythms very early have no problems learning fractions, right? Because they're learning subdivisions of a beat.
Okay.
They do really well at math. I find that it's important from a psychological point of view and from the study of psychology. Children that engage in music in the schools often they report better well-being, sense of well-being. They feel better psychologically. It can help us manage emotions. And music is important teaching outside. Like music education, you can broach topics outside of music as well. So it's really an integrative type way of learning that you can teach music through math. Like, it can double up as well. So music education also builds bridges into making other things exciting, of exploring different thoughts, of engaging in conversation. It brings cultures together. I mean, you could go on and on, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And we can go on and on about this, but I want to get to one of your new songs. We're going to actually play Fill Your Bucket coming up soon here on the podcast. And the song you're actually nominated for Children's Artist of the Year is Ants in My Pants. And that came from the Songs for Growing album. And so any more future plans for you, Heather? Are you going to be down here in St. John's for the ECMAs when they come back here in May?
100%. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And I can't wait to go. I'm going to see my family as well. And I really loved ECMAs the last time I went in Halifax in 2023. I was nominated then as well. And my album was just like brand new out. And ECMAs is the best, like the best. It was such a good conference. I learned so much. And it's always beautiful to be back in St. John's and on the Avalon. Like, I can't wait to go back. I hope to do some shows in Newfoundland in the summer. I'm working on it.
And hopefully we get to see you here and I get to meet you in person. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, of course, the ECMAs this year are again clattered in controversy just from the changes to the criteria to industrial knowledge being let go and the CEO being let go and people boycotting now because of what's happened there. And it's kind of overshadowing the fact that the ECMAs are coming back to St. John's for the first time in 10 years. So I'm not going to like focus on the negative. Let's focus on the positive. What do you hope to take away from the East Coast Music Awards when they come back to St. John's in May?
I hope to make new connections. I mean, that's the reason that you go to a conference. And I really hope that there's a chance to perform or at least to meet some kids, just to kind of make more community, to meet the other children's artists, to meet other people, to talk about initiating projects together, things that are even between provinces, in one location or between provinces. Definitely to put Newfoundland on the map as like more, like bring it to more prominence where it should be, because so much wonderful music comes out of Newfoundland.
Big time.
And that's really exciting to see ECMAs at St. John's again for that reason.
Yes, and one of the big reasons I've had this podcast is to feature not just the genres that you would normally hear, like a traditional or contemporary folk or country music, but rock and pop and jazz and blues and heavy music and hip-hop and children's music, too. And really just give that a prominent spot where, say, you know, major media companies, no disrespect to them, probably wouldn't, you know, take a sniff at music like yours or the Swinging Bells. Well, Swinging Bells are kind of an exception here in the province, but you get what I mean, though. And to you know, put it in their ears that we're not the little brother to the Maritimes. Like, we're really killing it here in Newfoundland and Labrador. And even though you're in Montreal, your heart bleeds Newfoundland and Labrador. So that's great news to hear. And we're going to get to one of your songs shortly. But for people who want to find out more about Heather Feather, We Jam, and everything you got on the go, where can they go when it comes to, say, socials and, like, a website?
So my socials, thanks for asking. They're almost all at Heather_Feather_ children's music. So I am on YouTube, and I mostly use Instagram more than Facebook, but it's all Heather_Feather_ children's music. The website is www.wejam.ca. So weejam.ca. And it's currently being revised and sent to a new domain, but I'll have like a foreword on it. So
Heather by Luco is a children's performer from Montreal who was originally born in Mount Pearl, and she is up for Children's Artist of the Year for Heather Feather. The song Into My Pants is up for an award this year, and she's got a brand new album together coming out soon. Heather, I am looking forward to meeting you in person when the ECMAs come back here to St. John's in May, and thanks again for doing this and being part of the Road to the East Coast Music Awards.
Oh my heavens, thank you. I'm looking forward to meeting you too.
I'm looking forward to that. Thanks again for doing this.
Thank you.
And that was Heather White Luco, who goes by her stage name, Heather Feather. If you want to find out more about Heather Feather and all the stuff she has going on, head on over to wejam.ca/Heather-Feather. You can also check her out on Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Music. Well, right now, here is the most recent single from her upcoming album Together, set to come out later this year. Here is Heather Feather now with Fill Your Bucket on the Musical Connections podcast.
I have a happiness bucket inside me, and you have one as well. When the buckets are full, we're really happy, but when they are empty, we don't feel so swell. When we are down, we can do things that feel good, like ride a bike or joke with a friend. We each have the power to choose to do happy things, to fill our buckets, to feel better again. Fill up your kind. When I do something nice, I feel my own happiness grow. Then I feel good, and you feel good. So fill a bucket with me and let the happiness flow. Fill up your bucket. Fill up your try to take your happy feelings by being mean, being cruel, but what they do and they say. Put a lid on your happiness bucket. Don't
It was a short episode, but a very sweet episode as well. A big thank you to Heather Feather for joining me on Musical Connections for this special bonus episode. And if you want to keep up to date with the podcast, you can follow me on your social media platforms on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Zach Snow on Instagram and Zach Snow NL on Instagram. So I will promote what guests are coming on and what releases are being highlighted for this week. And I also got video versions on my YouTube channel. Head on over there right now and subscribe and tell your friends about it as well so they can subscribe and help me get to my goal of 1,000 subscribers and expanding this podcast even further. And if you want to keep up to date with the podcast, you can follow me and subscribe to me on your favorite streaming platforms, whether it be Apple, Spotify, or RSS. And you can get all previous episodes by going to waterfrontmedianl.ca/musical-connections-podcast. And while you're there and you follow the podcast to make sure you don't miss an episode, once you're done an episode, leave a review because it'll help spread the word about this show and the music of our province, which is all a big part of my ever-growing mission of developing our Newfoundland and Labrador music sector, one song at a time. Stay tuned for this Tuesday as I got another new episode of the podcast coming your way. It'll be with Michael Dinn, who used to play in the Daisy Cutters, the Cartridge Family, and Baytown. He came into the studio to talk about his project, Smoke Spectre and Grogbit, and those were projects that he put in for the 2025 RPM Challenge. That's coming up next week, plus some amazing newfound releases that I'm just currently in the plans of, you know, sorting out, listening to, and putting out on social media for you guys to look at. Once again, if you want to listen to the podcast, new episodes drop every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts, and bonus episodes drop whenever you least expect it. That does it for this bonus episode of Musical Connections as our road to the ECMAs continues. Thank you for connecting with me. I've been your host, Zach Snow. Join me again where once more we will highlight the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. Stay safe, be kind to each other, and stay connected. Until next time, bye for now.